At Farm to Table, we know how confusing healthcare is. We're here to simplify the healing process. We believe that healthcare should be simple. It should help people feel better. We listen deeply and take the time needed with each and every patient. We work together to develop a plan that fits into each patient's life and helps them to feel better faster. That's why we started the Table Talk podcast, to gather around the table with you, whether you're on your way to work, rocking a baby, or taking a stroll. We want to come together and learn about using a new healthcare approach that focuses on finding the treatment for the root cause of your symptoms. The journey for each person is unique, but together we can thrive. Hi, welcome to the first episode of Table Talk. So I'm so excited to get to sit down with three members of the Farm to Table team and talk about functional medicine. So this is what we are so passionate about. We are talking to you about functional medicine on social media. We're talking to you about functional medicine on an email list. And oftentimes people are like, hey, what does that mean? What is functional medicine? And so we really wanted to start off our podcast by telling you about that and really why we exist and, you know, why we're here to serve you and on your health journey. So just to get started, we're glad you're listening. We're so excited that you're here. And we really just want to, you know, sort of review what the difference is between functional medicine and conventional medicine. And so there's a lot of things going on in our culture right now. We've got lots of people not getting the appropriate rest. We've got people with sedentary jobs and lack of movement. Our nutrition, we could talk. There's podcast after podcast after podcast after podcast out there about how you should eat, what timing you should eat, and all of those things. So we're not going to talk about that today, but we know that in general, the standard American diet isn't cutting it for most of us as far as getting the right inputs in. And when I say the right inputs, I mean the right messages to our cells to tell it what to do and to tell it to thrive. So we get a lot of processed foods. We get a lot of sugar and carbohydrates, which carbs aren't bad necessarily, but we just need to choose the right things and nutritious things. But there's a lot of stress. So if you followed Farm to Table for a while at all, you'll know that we did a stress solution with some of our partners and had that going on in the spring and really hit home like all the different aspects that stress can cause. So we know all of this is going on. And the challenge with our conventional system is that we're not addressing those things. We're not addressing the movement and the stress and the connection, you know, the rest that we need, or even the mental health component of our healthcare society is not there. And so, you know, we know the strengths of the conventional system include urgent things. We know if we're having a heart attack, we absolutely want to be taken to the ER and have the appropriate treatment. But when we're talking about chronic disease, you really need to flip the story. And so that's really what we're here to talk about. So before we get too far into that, I do want to introduce the ladies sitting around the table with me today. So why don't we start with Vanessa? So tell us who you are, where you're from, and maybe a little something fun about you.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Lesneski, and I am here in Tampa, Florida. And I teach pharmacy school at Lake Erie College of Osteopathic Medicine. I teach in the distance education program, but our local campus is in Bradenton, Florida. I'm sitting around this table because I have a elective for pharmacy students in functional medicine. And I found functional medicine kind of professionally and personally kind of at the same time. So I ended up being laid off from my job at a startup company in pharmacogenetics, which was great, but we were a little ahead of our time. And I was working at a compounding pharmacy and we did a nutrition program. So that was kind of what kicked off my professional experience in functional medicine. And then that kind of bled over into my teaching career. But personally, I definitely had a good experience with functional medicine. I had really bad heartburn that I was trying to control with diet, was taking literally handfuls of pills. And because I knew my genotype, I was quadrupled the dose on a PPI, proton pump inhibitor. So I was taking handfuls of pills to control this heartburn, enrolled in a device study, had some very invasive tests done. And they said I didn't have heartburn. And I said that they were crazy because I could not keep food down for 3 days when I had a flare. So something was definitely wrong. And through functional medicine, I was able to solve that problem for myself. Now, I'm careful with what I eat, but for the most part, as long as I am in moderation, I can eat what I want. And so I consider that a huge success. For my students, I've found that functional medicine is an exciting way for them to expand upon the role of a pharmacist. So a pharmacist is educated in a four-year program. Now that most pharmacists that are coming out nowadays every pharmacist that's coming out in the United States has a doctorate in pharmacy. And our pharmacy students are trained clinically to be clinicians and work on the healthcare team. And because we are trained to look at the whole person and everything that's going on with that person, we're looking at drug interactions. We're looking at all the drugs going into the body, not just the drugs for cardiovascular, not just the drugs for psych. So we're naturally already positioned to look at the whole picture. And so for this reason, I find that my students love my course. So I have a lot of interest and I have a lot of students that want to continue their path in functional medicine.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. And then Lauren, you want to give us a little bit of, you have been and I know we haven't dove in yet to what is functional medicine. We're getting there. So, but Lauren, tell us a little bit about what got you here. I know your husband actually was the one that experienced functional medicine first, right?
Yes. So my name's Lauren Castle. I'm also part of the Farm to Table team and the founder of the Functional Medicine Pharmacists Alliance. And that all started back in 2015 when I discovered functional medicine through a flyer on my door that basically said, you know, are you suffering from all these symptoms? And it was just a laundry list of things from fatigue and GI issues to brain fog and insomnia, sluggishness, all these symptoms. And I read it off and, you know, I handed it to my husband. I said, this sounds like you. And at the time, I'm a pharmacist. We were going to the gym. We were eating what I thought was super healthy, whole wheat bread and skim milk, because that's what we're told is healthy nutrition. And little did we know that was only fueling the inflammation that was making him so sick. And so when we found functional medicine and we gave it a shot, it really reversed all of the issues and then some. And so, you know, I was just along for the ride thinking that I was healthy as well. But as we did this together, I found what they say when they talk about functional medicine, focusing on optimal vitality, and that it's not just the absence of disease, but truly feeling well. And that was when I kind of had the aha moment that, okay, this is what I want to help my patients be able to do and achieve.
Right.
So that's how I discovered functional medicine.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I think that's a good lead into like the definition of functional medicine. So the definition by the Institute of Functional Medicine is that functional medicine is a personalized, systems-oriented model that empowers patients and practitioners to achieve, and this is what I think your example led into, the highest expression of health. So not just are we not sick, but that we're actually the healthiest that we can be. And we do this by working in collaboration with our patients to reverse the underlying causes of disease. So that inflammation that you're talking about isn't the actual disease, but how the symptoms were expressed might have been eventually diagnosed as a disease if that inflammation wasn't reversed. So that's a really good example. All right. And the last lady sitting around our table is Stevie. So I'm going to have her introduce herself before we dive more into this.
Hi, thank you, Melody. Hey, my name is Stevie Snow. I'm a pharmacist. I've been a pharmacist about 30 years, and I'm really proud to be part of the Farm to Table team because it seems to address something that has occurred to me in my 30 years in pharmacy, and that we're really not helping our patients with traditional medicine who have chronic diseases. They seem to just add more and more medications on for longer, the longer they get sicker and sicker, and it's not working for my patients, and it wasn't working for me, and it certainly wasn't working for my fiance, who was one of those guys who was the perfect image of health, eating the standard American diet and working out at the gym an hour a day. But when we did his CT of the heart, which is a calcium scoring test, he was basically a walking heart attack. He would have had the Widowmaker and dropped dead if somebody wasn't there who knew CPR. And that was a wake-up call for me that, okay, his doctor missed that. And even when we found it, we went to his doctor and she was like, well, I hope nothing happens before you can see a cardiologist. The cardiologist said, well, you passed your stress test. You're fine. He's not fine.
Oh, my goodness.
And, right? So we've hired and fired quite a few physicians over the years, and we're still really searching for a functional medicine physician that makes me happy. So I'm afraid that I'm self-medicating him, but right, I'm doing the best I can do. And I'm so excited that we have this group, because one of the problems with functional medicine and going to see a functional medicine physician is how difficult they are to get in to see. We have an appointment in October with our new physician here in Idaho. So by making it more accessible, by being available online, by making it more affordable, and just getting the word out and doing the best that we can to empower our patients to take control of their own health and use the functional medicine model, which is about, you know, taking the time to ask the right questions, to really listen to patients, not only what's going on, but when did it start?
Yes.
And going backwards. So just super happy to be here. So thank you, Melody.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I think what you're talking about with your fiance is exactly what so many patients experience. They might have a cardiologist, they might have their, you know, primary care doctor who's doing exactly what they were taught to do. There's nothing like typically wrong with what they're doing as far as practicing medicine or family medicine or internal medicine, but they just haven't been taught to sort of look at this from this root cause approach in some ways. A lot of it is, we're going to add this medication because it's been shown to decrease cardiac risk in, you know, X number of people, which is great. Sometimes that is exactly what the person does need to stabilize plaques or something like that. And some people will get to the diet like, oh, you should eat less carbs or you should lose weight. But there's never and I shouldn't say never because that's a big statement. There's a lot of physicians doing a great job talking about nutrition out there. But there's just so much mixed information about nutrition, I think, in our world, much less in the United States. And so they really get confused. They are like, well, this person tells me I should not eat eggs. I mean, I have had patients come into me, well, so-and-so doctor told me not to eat eggs. You're telling me eggs are fine and I just need to get rid of the toast. So like, who should I listen to? But besides just nutrition, patients feel that about everything. So not just about what should they eat, but what kind of exercise they should do or what drugs they should take, if they should take drugs. And so patients end up going to all these specialists. They get medications from their PCP, their endocrinologist, their cardiologist, and they come to the pharmacy and sometimes have, I mean, how many, what would you be the average, you guys who have dispensed more recently, say that you've seen patients on when they come in that are seeing multiple specialists? Lauren, do you have an idea when people walk into some of the pharmacies?
Yeah, I mean, I think the minimum is usually 5, but I mean, it's not uncommon to see 10 or 15 in a patient profile.
Right, exactly. And so I think sometimes I see too, with some of the prescribers I work with, it's like, we've got all these specialists involved, and sometimes the PCP doesn't want to take off something the specialist started because they referred them to ask, you know, them to participate in the care. And then, you know, we don't really know as you keep adding things, how much something's working. And then sometimes things just keep piling up instead of taking off. And so I know a lot of our pharmacists on our team are really passionate about working with patients to help deprescribe and take off medications. But the whole point in all of this, like, functional medicine is really a solution to help clear up that confusion. And so one of the things we talk about, you know, when we're talking about treating the root cause of illness is that if we have a scenario of the bathtub is overflowing, conventional medicine is going to run and grab that mop and clean up the mess. But if you take a step back and take time to assess the whole thing, you'll notice that the faucet is still on. And so the tub is plugged, the faucet is running. So the source of the water is the source of the mess. So while you need to mop it up for a little while, so drugs aren't always a bad thing. We are pharmacists, we're trained to use medications, but we want to help you decrease the need for as many of those as possible. But again, with the analogy, like, we can mop it up for a little while, but we really have to turn off the faucet. So just like Lauren was talking about, turning off the inflammation that her husband had is really the key into fixing the issue and fixing the root cause. And also maybe the plug. So in the example analogy there, you know, maybe the liver needs support in helping get things detoxified out of the body. Maybe that's part of the puzzle. It's not just the inputs that we're putting in. We also have to support certain systems, whether it be our adrenals or cardiac system, whatever that is, we have to support the body. And so I think that's where people sometimes think, oh, functional medicine's just out there, it's not well-researched or anything like that, which isn't true. The piece of functional medicine that we're trying to do is really seek balance among the internal and external factors in someone's body, mind, and spirit. And we also are using like genetic information, like Vanessa talked about, knowing her genetic code determined what in that example, what medication she used, but also knowing your genetics can influence what kind of vitamins we recommend. What kind of, do we recommend activated Bs or not activated Bs? So that can be an important piece, and knowing you as an individual patient. And like Stevie said, the whole piece of this puzzle is so important to listen to your story. This is why functional medicine takes such a long time and can't be done in the conventional 15-minute model, is that we have to know what's gone on in your story, because a lot of times there's some kind of emotional, psychological trigger like right before symptoms start. For me, in my story, it was the birth of my first child not going the way that I had envisioned it and being a very stressful experience. I see, if I write my own functional medicine timeline of what happened from birth to that point, diet wasn't great as a kid or a teenager, and a lot of the allergy symptoms and inflammation things that I experienced, even hormonal things, not cycling like I should have been, probably should have led me earlier to seek help. But when you go, if you're the female out there that has had trouble regulating their cycles, when you go to the office, they're going to say, oh, do you want some birth control? And that's really not the answer in regulating the cycles and helping the body do its thing. And so with functional medicine, when we see that same person, we're going to look at that completely different. We're going to look at what the hormone piece is. Is there insulin resistance? Is there an imbalance between progesterone and estrogen, and help the body to support producing that? And a lot of times stress is a huge player in those things as well. But digress a little bit into my story, really having my birth of my daughter. I couldn't even like write, I probably should write a Hallmark movie about this, but I basically was told by the physician, oh, she's going to be too big. She's going to be too big. You got to go and induce. So I went and got induced, even though I wanted like a completely natural labor. And then my physician was joking, well, everyone that has their little birth plan, that's normally, we just slide the C-section orders in right under that. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, I was so upset that how she was treating me and my wishes. And then I had hired a doula, and the doula was in jail. She was literally in jail, guys. Can you believe that? I mean, it was crazy. So she was in jail that night. The lady looked exactly like any other person. I mean, she looked like my mom, like a normal person. And so that really was just such a stressful experience. Like, I mean, we could talk about the rest of the story for a long time, but that really was my point in my timeline, where it just sort of set me off into like a lot of my GI symptoms and ended up with SIBO, or small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, which we will cover on another podcast. But so a lot of my patients, it might be someone, their husband cheated on them, and that was really what started their stress cascade. Or it might be a death in the family, or in a child, it might be their parents' divorce that really set them off into having more anxiety and how their body responds to things. So much to know and learn from patients' stories. So do you guys have any other examples that you want to share about a patient's story, and really, you know, as you've been digging in, sort of what the triggers sometimes can be? Okay. If you don't, that's totally fine. We can move on to the next question. But as far as, you know, we covered what functional medicine is, and really that we're, the underlying cause of disease is what we are treating. And so the core principles we talked about, really, again, acknowledging the person's an individual, incorporating patient-centered approach is so important. So Lauren, do you want to say anything about the patient-centeredness of functional medicine? I know you talk about functional medicine a lot.
Yeah. And actually, I was just kind of thinking about, you mentioned patient stories. I think one thing that I hear a lot is kind of like you said, there's like a triggering moment. And for a lot of people, it's this never well since date, or, yes, you know, it's some type of, oftentimes trauma, could be an infection, could be an illness, could be a stressor, it could be a loss. There's so many things. And I've actually been listening to a number of patient cases and some of the studying that I've been doing, you know, continuing my own education and working with patients. But so much of it really does come back to stress, and that just really being something that puts your body into this state of not being able to manage its own health and perpetuating that disease process. So that just kind of came to mind, you know, that if you're one of those people that you're kind of listening to this and thinking to yourself, like, yeah, I think about my own health history and maybe something stands out. And at the time it might not have seemed significant, but came back now, you see how it's all connected. And that's one of the fundamental pieces of functional medicine, that everything is connected. It's not just a fluke that something happened and then something else happened after it. That is how our bodies are hardwired to work. Yes. Part of functional medicine is embracing that and learning how to untangle it and being able to address all of those things in a very systematic way so that you can fix one thing and then fix the next.
Right.
And kind of get that puzzle all put back together.
Yes. And I think part of the patient-centeredness of that too is the hard, you know, everyone's like, where are the randomized control trials for functional medicine? And while we have some great organizations like the Cleveland Clinic studying the process and have shown the process to outperform primary care, they've also shown the process to be effective in group medical visits as well. But the hard part about that is that everybody's unique and everyone needs a different order in which they address things based on their individual situation. And so that's really hard to pair up in a randomized controlled trial when we're talking about the process of functional medicine. Certainly we can study supplements or other interventions on an individual basis, but when we're talking about the process of how we do this, it's really challenging to study it the same way that we study other things because it's such an individualized approach. But what you were talking about, Lauren, made me also think of, I've learned recently about this, called dynamic neuronal retraining system, or DNRS. But it's this whole like system that helps you really retrain your brain to stop having that like overwhelming like fight or flight response when you're exposed to certain stimuli. So if you are the person listening that you need to check out something, definitely check out. It's called retrainingthebrain.com. They have some great resources to get started, but lots of very much the, you know, we as pharmacists work with patients, we do some health coaching, but we also work with patients on lab monitoring and lab ordering and things like that. But sometimes other tools like this are really needed to dig into the brain components and the psychological components of everything that you've experienced that might be influencing your health. But it's so important to have someone leading you through those things, because trying to figure, I will say my journey through functional medicine as a patient, like everybody's little bit was giving me little bits of information, but I really never had anyone along the journey to say, here's the whole plan and here's what we're going to do first and here's what we're going to do second. I'm going to be here with you like as you do these steps. It was much like I went to one doctor and it was like, okay, well, he's helpful a little bit, but he's not really hearing me on this. And so then I'm going to the next provider and then the next provider, and everyone had a little piece of the puzzle. And sometimes you're, you know, people listening, your journey may feel like that, where someone's giving you little bits of information. But we really hope that our team can be a source of, even if we can't find the right information ourselves, can point you in the right direction and continue to be your coach along the journey and help you get to where you need to be. And we're definitely never going to be able to know everything for everybody. And that's the, you know, other piece that is so important as a practitioner, is knowing your limits of what you can do and what you can't do, I think, to help people. So let's see here. Let's transition to inflammation. Let's talk a little bit about inflammation, because I think, you know, when we talk about functional medicine, the chronic disease epidemic, you've got all these pieces. We've got nutrition, we've got aging populations, we've got sedentary lifestyles. We talked about chronic stress, which is probably should be bigger than all the rest of them. And then when we talk about chronic stress, does anyone want to give us a rundown? Vanessa, you want to give us a rundown of like what we mean by chronic stress and sort of the patient-friendly terms?
So our bodies respond to stress when we feel stress and we feel pushed in a situation that we're uncomfortable and we start to respond with stress, our heart rate goes up. Think about like when you have to like stand up and speak in front of an audience, right? Your heart rate goes up, your blood pressure goes up, your veins constrict to like tighten up. So you have more volume. So we're constricting our arteries and our veins. We have more volume and our digestion's not working. Like we're shunting all of our energy and all of our processes to responding as if we had to run away from a tiger. And having to hurry up and finish a paper before the due date for your professor is going to dock you some points is not the same as needing to run from a tiger, but your body does not know the difference. So your heart rate's increasing, you're not digesting properly, you're probably not firing mentally on all cylinders because you are primed to run and you're primed, your blood pressure is up.
Yeah. And your hormones start to produce this excess cortisol, and then that takes away from the female hormone production that should be happening. And so then your cycle's out of whack. And all of these things.
Yeah.
Are happening.
Oh, that too. Yeah. Yes. If you are chronically feeling stress, you are definitely not making those fun little chemical reactions in your body that are necessary to functioning properly.
Right. Right. Exactly. So stress is such an important piece of this to address. And the challenge is that we're not going to get rid of stress. There's no point where we're going to be in this like stress-free bubble for the rest of our lives. Like that's never going to happen. Since this is one of like the really core, we're spending a little bit of time on stress here for a moment because it's so important to functional medicine and that folks realize that when you come to a functional medicine provider, we're going to talk to you about this. I've had a couple people that have come and they just want the plan of the testing and the supplements and what do I do? What do I take? How can I get rid of this quickly? But you didn't get into this situation in a few days or a week, or you didn't just catch this chronic illness like we catch a flu or something like that. So it takes a while for us to reverse this. And one of the things I like to emphasize, and we talk about this in our orientation class, is that it's not going to resolve overnight. And we have to have patients that are ready and motivated to really work with us and make those changes. And so when we talk to patients about reducing stress, again, we can't get rid of everything, but maybe there's something that we can do to help our bodies be more resilient to stress. So Stevie, do you want to talk about some of those stress resilient things that we can do to help our bodies to respond to stress better?
Yeah, absolutely. Because we are very good at getting stressed, but getting unstressed, that we're not really trained how to do that. And of course, meditation is a great way to do that, and sitting quietly. And when I think about meditation and I talk to anybody about it, they're like, no, I can't do it. My monkey mind is crazy. It just won't let me settle down. I cannot sit and not have any thoughts. Well, meditation isn't about not having thoughts. It's about redirecting those thoughts from thoughts that stir us up to thoughts that slow us down. And I really like the analogy of meditation being training a puppy to go outside to go to the bathroom instead of piddling in your house shoes. So you see the puppy going for your house shoes and you're like, no, no, puppy. And you take the puppy outside and show it the fire hydrant saying, okay, now this is where you go potty. And that's the meditation process, not going outside to potty, but stopping it from getting into the shoe and taking it outside. That's the process of meditation. So as we have these anxious thoughts, correcting that thought process and thinking of something that slows it, calms us down, say focusing on the breath, that is the meditation. So don't think, dear listeners, that you need to learn how to clear all thoughts out of your brain to meditate. You don't. You just want to redirect those thoughts so that you're calmer. And then of course, getting better sleep at night is big for reducing stress. And if you're stressed, how do you sleep well at night? So there's the whole sleep hygiene thing that I think we'll probably be addressing in a later podcast.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I was just going to say that the next several podcasts, we're going to really focus on these foundations of functional medicine or foundations of health. And nutrition is one of those. So we're going to dive into some of the nutrition piece on our next episode. And then the foundations of health, one of them being sleep, addressing stress. So we're going to spend a whole podcast talking about stress, and then also movement and connections and how important those are to our health. And then after that, we're going to dive into a lot of other topics. And if you're listening, we also would love to hear what you want us to talk about. So please definitely fill out the contact form on farmtotable.life. Send us topics you want to hear about, and we'll definitely include those in an upcoming episode. So anything else left you ladies want to talk about? Yes, Stevie says yes about functional medicine. Go ahead.
Yeah, I really do want to make sure that we talk about deprescribing again. You mentioned it once. I think it's just an essential component that pharmacists bring to the table, especially at Farm to Table. Mm-hmm. But when a patient is put on a medication or a list of medications, you know, which ones can come off first? When it's a list of 10, there's usually going to be one that can come off pretty easily. But as you start to narrow it down, a patient needs to understand from their point of view, why is this medication still needed? Why is it not needed? If we remove it, you know, what's going to happen? Generally, you have less drug side effects, drug interactions, and it's possible it's one of those specialist medications that was added because of a situation and then nobody wanted to deprescribe it. We can, as pharmacists, absolutely set out a plan, but you have to have patient buy-in And then you have to have family buy-in. I find that if you can get your patient, the patient agrees, yeah, I want to stop taking this. They go and talk with their daughter or son. And they're like, no, mama, remember, you really need to be on this because this is what happened. And they'd forgotten the situation. And if you don't get the family buy-in, then the deprescribing won't work. And so then once you've got the patient on board and then you get the family on board and we're all on the same page, then we have the conversation with the prescriber and say, okay, you know, we'd like to taper off of this, or is it a drug that can be stopped cold turkey? But the important thing I'm trying to say here is deprescribing is a group effort. Yes. And it takes time to do it right.
Yes. And, we're not going to tell you to stop all 20 medications right away for sure, but trying to find a good process for thinking about those and figuring out which ones aren't really doing you any difference. I mean, I have people taking like two drugs to address like diabetes and neuropathy, but one wasn't taken off before the other one was put on. And they're like, I was like, well, were you pain free before you got the second drug? And they're like, no, I was still in pain. Did it really help you to begin with? Well, I don't really know. I'm like, well, then let's get rid of that one, right? And so there's so many situations like that we could talk about for a long time. And I know a lot of our pharmacist colleagues that are listening that are working in dispensing roles, you guys see that all the time where there's a lot of things that come across probably can be discussed. So, all right. Well, just to wrap it up, just a reminder, functional medicine is really, again, it's a personalized system. We want it to be about you and your journey. Listening to you is our most important role in being a functional medicine provider and listening to your story. Because when we hear your story, we can help figure out that key. Like we were talking about that trigger event, something that can really open up to why is this happening, or maybe give us some clues, because, you know, that's so important. The story is, you know, helping us create that timeline. And then also that, again, like Lauren mentioned at the beginning, I can't emphasize this enough. Like, we want to help you thrive. We don't just want to help you not have X disease. I mean, yes, we don't want you to have diabetes or metabolic syndrome or fibromyalgia pain. Of course, we want those to go away. But we want you to thrive in every aspect of your life. And so that's really what functional medicine is. It's addressing the root cause of the disease, whether that's inflammation. Inflammation is the base of a lot of these conditions, and the immune system going awry in certain situations and leading to obesity or diabetes or cancer or arthritis, you name it, but really getting to the root of why that inflammation is occurring in each individual, because it's going to be so different. And that's really what functional medicine is about. And so in the later podcast, we're going to talk more about what functional medicine looks like. We'll talk about lab testing and other podcasts and ways that we can evaluate patients from a functional medicine perspective. So much of it is in these foundations of moving well, sleeping well, getting that body in line, and meditation and yoga or whatever you use to do that. So thank you so much, ladies, for joining me on our first podcast. It's so exciting. So anyone else have any last words about functional medicine? Oh, Vanessa does. All right.
So another way I like to kind of provide a definition to my students about functional medicine is kind of an old throwback to when I was in pharmacogenetics. And so pharmacogenetics first came out was kind of like looked at as being like a big, like, problem solver, I guess. And it didn't really play out that way. It was just another tool in the tool belt. So with functional medicine, I like to say that a functional medicine provider is putting on a really big tool belt. They are using standard of care. Standard of care is still in play. So it's like standard of care plus, and then a really big tool belt. So they have all these different tools that they can use to assess and kind of give some feedback and look at the full picture. And then there's different tools that we can use to try to solve the underlying problem, as opposed to just slapping a Band-Aid on it and providing a prescription. So that's kind of my little extra definition.
Yes, awesome. Well, in our discovery class that you can find at farmtotable.life, and that's PharmTotable.life. And we have, again, the discovery class over there. We run down the conventional approach to a condition called rheumatoid arthritis, which is an autoimmune condition. And then we compare that to the functional medicine approach to rheumatoid arthritis. And so if you have any kind of chronic symptoms or rheumatoid arthritis yourself, definitely head over and check that out. The comparison is there because it's just such a great example of how the conventional system would operate versus the functional medicine system. So So head over there to, again, to our website, check that out if you want to learn more about the differences in those. So again, thank you so much, ladies, for joining me. It's been a pleasure, and I'm so excited to journey with you guys and also helping our patients to thrive. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We're excited you are on your journey with us. Find us online at farmtotable.life, farm with a P, and on Instagram at farmtotableteam.